Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Did you gain any weight during Thanksgiving? That's my first question.
I'm more
worried. How was it?
It was more of the ramp up to Thanksgiving. All the pre-feastings.
The ramp up getting ready to it?
Yeah. All the
snacking. How many meals did you eat and call it Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, it depends how far back you want to go. If you want to go back like a week, well, then it's not bad. But if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. Did you start a week early?
Oh, I started two weeks early.
Were you going to people's houses?
No.
Or were you going out?
No, well, we had to sample because we were trying some new recipes, and so we had to sample the stuff that we were making. You can't just try something new and throw it on the table on Thanksgiving. You have to do a practice
run.
That's right. Yeah. And so,
I love practice runs.
Oh, isn't that the best? Yeah. It's
it
a
is.
Good excuse. And so
well, would you like me to tell you a little bit about what I had?
I hope so. I'm hoping to hear this.
Okay. I had bread pudding with white chocolate sauce.
What? Oh, my.
Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Uh-huh. And we had mini cheesecakes.
Oh.
Gourmet carrot souffles.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Cranberry relish. Sweet potato casseroles. Dressing, you know, I mean, and then the bird. Then we had a corn casserole.
Oh, my word.
And we had a hickory smoked turkey.
Really? Hickory
yes.
smoked. Ooh.
Hickory smoked turkey.
Now, that sounds amazing. The wood makes all the difference. I've never had hickory smoked.
Yes, hickory smoked. I mean, you know, we could have got the hot kind, but, you know, we're not going there.
No.
And there's so many choices. You know, you can get mac and cheese with lobster in it, but I didn't do that.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
That would have been, you know, really, really on up there.
Yeah.
But I decided they weren't ready for that. I said, I don't think we're going to do that. I'm not going that far.
It's a little too uptown.
It was too uptown for this group. I said, you know, they don't deserve that. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, my word.
Yeah, I did different desserts this year. I wasn't doing pumpkin pie. I didn't do pecan pie. I still did my Jell-O salad. You know, I've done it for 25 years.
Now,
and I always have to do that.
Yes.
But,
people
you know,
will run you out of town.
It's got the pineapple in it. It's got the whipping cream in it. It's got the nuts in it. That thing's got a lot of calories.
Oh, no, they don't count on Thanksgiving. No.
That's right. You can't count it.
No.
Then I did them in little molds.
Ooh.
You know, yeah, the little molds would really be pretty.
Not like little individual molds or like the
yes,
big molds?
Yes, little individual molds.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
It was. I mean, it was pretty.
Wow.
You got to do something pretty. I mean,
that's
you know.
Very fancy. Oh, my word.
Yes. And I thought it would be different this year, and it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Golly. And, I'm still stuck on the first thing that you said. I'm just, I don't know. Now you went with the it was the Cajun.
Yes,
thing, right?
I did. Yes, and I just kept adding up. Put that on.
So,
you know.
So you're ordering
with the bread pudding with the white chocolate sauce.
That's where I'm stuck.
You got stuck on that first ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah, bread pudding would have been enough, but then you throw on some chocolate sauce on top of it. I don't think I've ever had anything like that in my life, and I think
it's decadent.
Oh,
decadent.
I bet it is. Oh, it sounds delicious.
Yeah. It's so rich you can't have much of it.
Oh, wow.
But the little miniature cheesecakes were also wonderful.
I'm sure.
You know?
Now, if you don't make that the piece that you're legendary for, the Jell-O in the little, and you put it in little individual containers, that's new, though, right? You didn't used to do that, did you?
No, I've had those all these years. And some years I've done it, but usually, like you say, I just do a bowl.
Yeah.
But no, I did the little deals because I've got them. I might as well use them. So I did that to make it a little fancier.
Wow. And I know that if you don't make that, you're going to get run out of town because that's not going to
be. That's exactly right because I didn't want to do it. I said, I'll skip that.
Yeah.
And I heard from it from high and low. How could you do that? How could you not do that?
I said,
well, okay, I'll do it. One more time.
One more time. Sure.
Yeah, more time.
Boy, you threatened to not do that next year. Can you imagine the feedback you're going to get?
Oh, it's just like if you say, no cranberry sauce. I mean, you just can't do it.
No.
You got to have cranberry sauce.
No, you can't just not do that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and, you know, you say, well, we might not use the fine china. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Did they have a fit over that, too?
Yeah, I said, you know, we could just, you know, just use everyday plates and just throw them in the dishwasher. And nobody, they didn't think that was a good idea.
I know that you have been planning this so that you didn't have to cook and you ended up making Jell-O salad. And then you planned it so you didn't have to clean up. And now.
That's right.
You brought
I told
China.
We could do paper plates even. Can you imagine paper plates on top of the chargers? You know, you've got those beautiful chargers and then you put the paper plates in them.
People, ooh, people would talk, but it would be some stories.
They would talk. I mean, they'd put it out on the internet.
Yeah. So publicly
have
shame you.
Have ever heard of such in all your life?
Wow. For the most interesting Thanksgiving, go to Faye Bagby's house.
That's right. It could be interesting.
Wow.
And it was interesting.
So you didn't,
but, you know, you have to have a little excitement in your
life.
Well,
of course you do. And you know, and threatening people that you're not going to have the usual, it kind of makes them appreciate it a little bit more, you know?
That's right. You want them to appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
And not just expect it.
No, then it just becomes, you know, they take it for granted. And, you know, every once in a while.
Take advantage of me.
Yeah. You need to reset a little bit and say, hey, don't forget what I'm doing here.
That's right.
This
I mean,
is not a light
be appreciative of it.
Yeah. Oh, I think they gotten a little settled in. They needed a good jarring this year.
They do. They need a good jarring. Oh, I think you're right.
Well, I'm glad it went well.
And what did you have?
Well, because it's just the two of us, so we just stuck with the...
Right, not much.
No, it's not much at all. And so we thought about a couple of different things. We thought about, you know, the turkey and the dressing, because we still go and do some of that old school cooking that people don't do anymore. You know, like the dressing from like generations ago, where they used to make it, you know, like over in like Europe and things like that, and handed down the recipe from generation to generation.
I love the old German dressing. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh, those are the best. Oh my word. And people don't cook like that anymore. And so,
no, they don't.
Yeah, those old recipes, they're getting lost. And so, you know, when this, like our generation and all that starts to, you know, stop cooking, who's going to carry it on? And so you don't get those things very often, except for once a year.
Once a year?
Yeah, we decided, well, we should do that. And then we changed our mind and just made breakfast.
I love that. I mean, y'all thought about and didn't even do it.
Oh, yeah. We planned it all out, had it in notebooks on multiple pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And you could have gotten my sweet potato recipe. I heard from people in East Texas that tried it for the first time.
Oh.
And they loved it.
Really? I know that's
that
legendary.
Sweet potato recipe is to die for.
Yes.
But it takes time.
And that's the thing.
You know?
It's the time that goes into it. And so, you know, when you're having a big gathering over there, it's just like, okay, there's a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that have been coming for a long time. You know, family that expects the same things for the last, you know, several, you know, at least a decade or two or three. Who knows? But then it was just us and all the people weren't coming over. And so we looked at and all the papers were spread out on the table. And we said.
And y'all were going to do this big Thanksgiving dinner for two people.
Yeah.
And then y'all just had breakfast and forgot about it.
Yeah. We looked at the paper and said, no, this isn't worth it. Forget it. No, we're going to change it up. And so we did.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Well, you could have done Eggs Benedict or something like that.
Oh, now that's fancy. That sounds delicious. Now, next year, though, I'm going to want to know about where to get some of that bread pudding with chocolate sauce because, you know, I mean, that's... up until now.
I mean, that is to die for.
I know it.
But and you can't pass up cheesecake ever. You know, a little bit of cheesecake's good for you.
I know it. See, our favorite is pecan pie, and we only have it once a year. This year we had two
pies. I would
pies.
Have it two or three times a year if I had the time.
I know it. I know it. But now I'm sitting here thinking about bread pudding with chocolate sauce, and I'm thinking, oh, my word.
I know. Can you imagine how decadent that really is?
I know it. And now other people are trying your other recipe, and so now I'm telling you, you need to put out some kind of a recipe book along with the other things that you're creating. That would be a bestseller, guaranteed.
Anything I wrote with it might be a bestseller. It'd be so dadgum funny.
Would be.
By the time they got through laughing and going through it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my word. And so now it's all the Christmas decorations.
Now, on to Christmas.
Yeah.
Now we have to get everything gathered up, get everything put up, and get started on the other.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So before all the cooking and the eating and the napping and the sleeping, did you get any work done? Did anything happen earlier in the week?
We have got some work done. We've got these four policies that I told you had matured. Three of them are now in the people's accounts. They've got the money, and they've just got one more to go. Butler, I believe, Turner is the last one. But the other three are in the bank. They've got the money. They've made the profit.
Nice. I bet that makes people happy.
It is nice. And now we've got one more, a small policy. There's only three people in it, and that's another maturity. It just happened this week.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's a recent one. That's new. That's brand new.
Yeah, this is a brand new one. It's a small one. I believe it's $250,000, and there's only three people in it.
Nice. So then that should become
the others, you know, was $2 million altogether.
Oh, I know it. It was huge.
And one of them was $1 million, and the other one was $400,000, and the other was the difference of six.
Jeez.
Yeah. Golly. So all those people got paid. And all of them but one, as you know, came in early.
Yes, because I remember we were talking about that and how it's not often that it happens, but boy, when you get a couple right in a row with that kind of timing, it's just, you know, people probably jumping up and down and say, hey, we got a little bit extra for the holidays, and then they can reinvest, obviously, or you know, have a very expensive
Christmas.
Gallo
is the one that was the older one that came in. The last one that came in was Gallo. And I think it'll be in the bank before the 30th.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's fast then.
Yeah,
that's
quick.
Yeah, I
think so. Yeah, because all of them are paid out pretty quick, really.
Yeah. Yeah, they really have. I mean, I know we talk about the timeline sometimes and how fast the process is because it's already laid out. It's already, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, really going down the checklist. Boom, 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 boom. Nobody's scratching their head wondering, what do we do now? It's already pre-planned. And so, you know, once, you know, the ball starts rolling, it just kind of like all falls into place. And so it really does end up pretty
quick. And my hairdresser was in one of these policies.
Was he really?
He made a real good profit. He said, I can't even find a copy of my policy. I said, what do you mean? You know, he loses all these files. You know, he loses them, and then I have to go back, resubmit it for him, and get it on his email, and then he has to put it in the file again because he loses everything. I can't believe it. Yeah, he called me this week. He said, well, you know that policy? He said, you know, I don't even have a copy of it.
Oh,
I go,
gee.
What are you talking about? You don't have a copy of the contract? No. I said, what'd you do? That he said, I don't know. He just didn't know. So I had to do that for him. And sometimes people call me, and they want to know about their policies. They don't remember, and that's okay. Anytime you can't remember or you're concerned about something, you can always call and say, can you get me a copy of my portfolio, everything I've got, what I've made, what policies have matured, what policies haven't matured. It's okay.
Yeah. You won't yell at them or shame them.
No,
for
I won't yell at them at all.
No.
I don't mind.
No, I mean.
And
Now, what about how, what kind of self-sufficient, just out of curiosity, what kind of self-sufficient resources do people have? Do they have to?
Well, they can go online to Nevada Trust, put in their account number, and look it up. But people don't do that all the time. They call me instead and say, tell me what I have and how much I have and what I've made. And how much cash do I have in the bank? How many policies do I have? And we look it up for them. People don't go online and look it up, I assure you.
Yeah, it's much easier, I'm sure, to just pick up the phone and call you and have you do it.
Yeah, and but I'll look it up, and then we email it to them. And then some people don't have email. Some people don't answer their email. So lots of times we have to mail it to them.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
So you're there for any stage of the process that people are in?
That's right. Anything they need, all they have to do is let us know. And if they want to know what they've made over the years, we can tell them. If they want to know how much premium they've paid on an old policy, we can tell them that.
Wow.
And if they've lost their contract, we can get them a duplicate. All kinds of little things like that.
Like your hairdresser.
That's right, like my hairdresser.
So when you go to the beauty shop, do you talk business or is
he
gossip?
We do lots of times, yes, we do. Lots of times he'll say, Faye, have you got a new policy for me? Is there anything for me? And I'll say, yes, I've got this one. He'll say, okay, put me down for $50,000 or put me down for $100,000. And I'll put him down, and then we email him the contract, and then he says, Faye, can you just bring me the contract? So, you know, he's not paying attention sometimes.
Well, I'm sure he's probably busy. But I'm sure, you know, people, you know, I mean, people have things going on in their lives. I'm sure there's, you know, people that don't check email. And so when that happens, it's nice to know that, you know, you're always, you know, there as a resource. People can just pick up the phone. And I know that I'm pretty sure you've got clients who have been with you for years and years and years that probably have you saved in their phone on speed dial, and they just pick up the phone and call you and ask you questions. And, you know, it's not like somebody has to go through a call center or has to, you know.
No, I hate call centers. You know how I feel about them.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can't even get a banker on the phone or anybody at the bank, if you have a question and they say, what town are you in? What city are you in? Oh, my gosh, I don't want to be asked that.
Yeah.
I want them to say, oh, I'm right here.
Yes.
You know? No, they're not going to say that. And then they say, oh, we're in Egypt or, you know, New York City.
Yeah.
Or Atlanta. I mean, you know, they're not here.
No.
And they're all trying to close all their branches where they don't have to talk to us.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, there's a lot. You know, we always talk about customer service and how hard it is already to get answers. Now they're closing down facilities, so there's even less people. And isn't there something? Now, I think you've run across something a time or two where, you know, you can't even call. There's no place to call. You have to do everything online, and you have no choice. So,
and what about all the people that don't do online?
I know.
We have customers that refuse to. We have customers they don't ever open their emails, and we have to send them a text to get them to open the email.
Yeah.
Or we have some of them don't even have email, and so we have to send it to them by mail. Mm-hmm. You know, the mail still goes through.
Yeah, and not a whole lot of places will do that kind of thing. They even push for people to even have their bills not go through the mail. You know, just get your electric bill or whatever.
That's right. They want your electric bill online. They want your credit cards online. They don't want you to dial up to pay it. They want you to go online and do it that way.
Yeah. So it's nice to have you there as a resource for anybody, no matter where they are in their stage. And they can also call Nevada Trust if they needed to, right? I mean, they can.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, Nevada Trust is slow, but they're there. I mean, sometimes I'll say, well, can you get this out today? Well, it might be tomorrow. I mean, they're snowed under all the time. I don't understand it, but they're a good company. They just don't have as many employees as I think they ought to have.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, back then, I say back then, back in the, I hate to say back in the old days, but back when customer service was a big deal for most businesses, you know, that's how it was. It's like, it's almost refreshing to know, well, it might be tomorrow, because that means that there's an actual person who's actually doing something, and it's reducing the chances for error. It's nice to know that, hey, there is still business being done without some kind of an automation system relying on, you know, some kind of a, you know, a machine process. It's nice to know that there's human eyes on things sometimes, especially when we're talking about people's money. You know, you don't want to leave things to chance.
When we're talking about people's money, it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
And we want to be sure it's safe. You know, there at Nevada Trust. And it is, because we had some people that we were doing an annuity for this week, and the money was coming from their account at Nevada Trust. And even though we authorized it, the client authorized it, they called him just to verify it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we told him, you've got to talk to Philip or someone there, James, before your money's going to go into that annuity. And he did, so they authorized it. But they have a lot of security. I talk about that all the time. Their security's tough.
Yeah, and it's good to know. You know, sometimes that human verification. You know, so you tell them, and then they call, and you can let them know, hey, expect a call from Nevada Trust. And when you see that number pop up, answer the phone. It's not spam. It's for real. They're just
triple checking.
That's
right. It's either James or Philip. You know. They're at the bank saying, okay, did you authorize this? And, of course, they say yes. And then they finally will send it over for the annuity.
I would think a lot of investors really appreciate that. That just the fact that, you know, not only is it just a machine that's just cranking things out, but the fact that there is humans, you know, people, there to watch over things. People are there as a resource. People can pick up the phone and call you. They don't have to send an email to a general inbox and hope somebody sees it. And you know a lot of your investors by name. And it's just nice to know that there's some refreshing, I guess, old school business that is still done someplace. And so I would think investors love that.
And, you know, and we are local. We're not New York City or Chicago or, you know, some of these outlandish places. You know, we're right here in Texas, and we respond to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the great thing. What about new investors? Are they are they used to having personal attention? You know,
I don't know. I don't ever ask them, but it's not very personal. If they're with any of the big oil companies,
yeah,
they don't even know the people that handle their money. And when we get ready, to retire and we're moving their money, you know, we just dial them up and say, you know, this is the amount they have coming. And they verify all that, then they just send it over.
Wow.
So they're dealing with huge companies.
Yeah. You know, I think probably when new investors come over to see you, it's kind of shocking to know when you pick up the phone, when you explain this to them, you know, hey, Mr. Investor, when you pick up the phone and call, I am here. It's not like we're going to pass you off to somebody else. And so that has to be comforting for new investors. And I think maybe when you have people that call, they might be intimidated, you know, maybe a little bit, just because it's like, hey, we're dealing with a lot of money here. You know, I don't want to go through another situation because I've been through other things before where, you know, things have been handled very sloppily and somebody was supposed to do something and they didn't. And then somebody else got involved and they did. It's you. It's like the buck stops with you. And you say that all the time. But I'm sure that's reassuring to new investors to know that, and that, you know, they're not going to get lost in the shuffle somewhere.
And, you know, we do have a lot of new investors every week doing annuities and life settlements. And it depends on their age as to how they're doing it, or if they're doing 50% one way and 50% the other way. And we have some people that, you know, they're old enough now, they should be doing annuities, you know, because the annuities will give them that income without them having to do anything over the next 10 or 20 years.
Do you... have investors that maybe are new that don't know which way they should go? They're like, we want to do something more
conservative. We talk to them at the onset.
Okay.
When you come in, we're going to talk to you then about what you want to do. Do you want half of it in annuities, half of it in life settlements, depending on your age? How soon are you going to need income? If you're going to need it right away, you know, you better have some of it in annuities. But if you're not going to need it for 5 years, you know, you could go ahead and do life settlements.
Yeah. I'm sure that's probably comforting for new investors as well who come over and, you know, maybe they've been listening to you for a long time, but maybe they're not sure about their own individual situation. They're like, well, we've got this, we've got this. Here are our assets. Here how far we're until we plan to retire. We're not really the best sure about the best route to take. You can walk them through that.
I do walk them through it. Absolutely. I started what money they've got. If it's an IRA, if it's joint money, that's really important. If it's an IRA, at 73 and a half, they're going to have to start taking money out. So if they're only 65, you know, we can do it a different way. But if they're approaching 70, they're going to need, you know, to be taking money out. So they're going to have some of it in annuities. But if they're 55 years old, you know, they can do life settlements for a while. And it depends how much money they need to make. You know, our annuities are doing much better than they were. You know, annuities have come a long way. You know, instead of that little 4 or 5% they used to offer, now you've got the bonuses, you've got the indexes. So annuities are better and better. They've never been better than they are right now. And that 16% is going to 14 on the 4th.
December 4th.
Coming down 2 points.
Okay. All right. I knew it was going down. I couldn't remember the date.
Yeah, it's coming down 2 points. I don't think it'll come down any farther than that right now, but I know it is coming down 2.
Yeah. I mean, people...
And in order to get 16% bonus, they've got to have it in to the company on the 4th. It's got to be there.
All right. So if people are still thinking about the 16% with annuities, they need to get on it. We're running out of time quickly. Call you like Monday. Seriously, Monday.
That's right. They've got to do it right away. And, of course, now we don't have to send in the originals like we've done all these years. We can now email it to them, and it'll be a lot faster.
Mm.
So we can email the insurance companies now, and they're making it a lot easier.
Okay. And now explain that 16% again, because I know it's bonus. I know it's money on top of money.
That's right.
How it works.
When you get a bonus, it's right then. That 16% is added to your contract in dollars and cents right now. And so then every time you put money in for 3 years, you get the 16% bonus for 3 years. So if you do it before the 4th, you're going to get 16% on every dime you put in this year, next year, and the next year.
So even though
that's in addition to what it makes, nothing to do with what it's going to make.
That's true. It's money on top of your profit. That's extra.
That's right. So it's starting you off with a great return. It'll never back up. It's already in the bank.
Now
if it's $100,000, it's $16,000.
And that's not even including the profit. I think we should.
No, that has nothing to do with your profit.
Yeah.
And then we put it in the indexes. If the market goes down, the index does not. It's just holds steady. It's got a lock on it. If the market goes up, it mirrors it, and you'll make money. If the market stands still, you'll stand still. But if it goes down, you don't. It has a lock on it, and it will not reverse. So that's a really good thing about annuities.
Yeah, it's got that stopgaps to prevent people from losing, because you always say...
Any of their principal, yeah.
Exactly, protect the principal.
So it's not like a stock market. You know, you can have $100,000 today, tomorrow you might only have $50,000.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do that. Whatever you started out with, that's not going anywhere.
And as far as payouts go, is it appropriate to... I guess characterize payouts as consistent? Is that the right way to say it? Or
that's right. You can take 10% a year out. You can take 5%, 4%. I have a lot of people that say, Faye, I don't need 10%. I need 4%. And so they don't take as much. And if they might eventually, but right now they don't need that much to live on. So they decide how much after the first year that they want to take out.
Now,
lots
with that-
of times he'll have an IRA and she'll have one. And they'll start on his and leave hers just growing. It's just growing money.
Do they roll them into one? Or do they ever do that?
No,
is that
you
a
cannot
thing?
Do that.
You can't do
you
that.
You can never put a his and hers together. IRAs have to stand on their own for each person.
Oh, okay. All right. So when you say the 16% ends on the 4th and it goes down to 14, as long as it's done, I don't know how to ask this. As long as it's done and in place, just because it's going down to 14%, they're still going to get that 16 as long as the deal is done by the 4th. It just because it,
that's right.
Okay. All right.
And after the 4th, it's 14%. And we don't know how long the 14 will be good for. We hope a while.
All right. Because I know that it seems like in the last, I don't know, several weeks, maybe even months, it seems like you've had a lot more people call up interested in getting into annuities, which may have been a little bit of a different shift than maybe what has happened in the past. And it might be because
of people are retiring. You know, a lot of people have been listening to us for years. When they get ready to retire, they call us. And I have people tell me that every week. They say, well, I've been listening to you for years, but I wasn't ready to retire. I didn't have my money then. And, you know, they change jobs and they send the money over to us rather than starting over at a new company. Or if they're getting ready to retire, they send it to us. I've done several this month, a husband IRA, the wife's IRA, and then they had money in the bank that they moved to us.
Hmm. In your expert opinion, how far in advance before somebody retires should they start making some moves or planning? Or
well, I would say 2 months before they retire.
Oh, okay.
And you can start getting ready.
All right. 'Cause and
you can do the application. They will hold up the application open for you. And then when you get closer, then we call them and tell them, you know, that he is retiring. We're going to be sending the money out. And so they'll figure up your vacation days, your sick pay that you haven't needed, haven't used, and then what you've got coming from retirement. So they'll order all the money that you're going to get. They'll have that ready on retirement.
Oh, wow. So and they'll actually hold the application open?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And then they have everything already mapped out. It gives them a chance to do a little prep work so that when it's time, literally you just basically push the button and boom, everything happens and they don't have to figure it out.
That's right. It's all ready. The map's already done. The application's done. Your beneficiaries are ready. So you can do it. Hmm. Then if the second person isn't ready to retire, we'll do theirs when they get ready. Like the wife may be 5 years younger. So she may not be ready to retire yet. So we'll do that when the time comes. And I've had people that retired, then the person got Alzheimer's. So then it's all set up. You know, it doesn't matter what happens to them. We've already got it set up to take so much a year out. So it's automatic. It doesn't matter what happens to them.
Mm. Okay, so it's pre-planned ahead of time in case
yes.
things... Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
And we've had a couple of clients that passed away this year from cancer. They had everything set like they wanted it. So once they passed away, the beneficiaries took over and everything's fine. And we've got someone now that's got cancer that's not going to make it. He's getting prepared, getting everything ready. Been a long-time customer.
Mm, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I keep thinking it's all that petroleum they're working with out there,
out
in the field.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's it's something to think about for sure, you know, because
yes,
you never know what we're dealing with. I do have a question, though. So when people are thinking, okay, I'm a few months away from retirement, is that a good time period for people to be doing a life settlement, or is that when people generally go towards annuities, or does it really
matter? Well, it depends how much money they have. People with a large portfolio are probably going to do both.
Okay.
Because life settlements pay more generally than an annuity. But an annuity is steady. You can depend on it year after year. Once you sign the contract, they're going to pay you every year. You can take 10% or 5% out every year. And once you're retired, if something happens to you, you become disabled, it doesn't matter. The annuity is going to send you a check every year.
Okay. So it's in place.
Let's say that your wife becomes sick. It doesn't matter. They're going to pay you that check regardless.
All right. So the consistency of annuity is, and correct me if I say this the wrong way, or if I'm just flat out wrong, but the consistency of annuity and the planning of the annuity is great for people who are at or after retirement, as opposed to maybe a life settlement, which might be good for people maybe 40s, 50s, you know, still several years away, who aren't looking for that consistency.
And even in their 60s or up to 70.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But this, an annuity, a fixed annuity is what these are called. Fixed indexed annuities are different than a variable annuity. A variable annuity has got mutual funds in it, so it can go down. That's the kind they do over at the stock brokerage house.
Yeah.
So you don't want that. I mean, I wouldn't want that kind because it can go down. You can lose money. So a variable annuity is not like a fixed index annuity.
Yeah. Because
a lot of difference.
Yeah, it can go up and down. So you don't even deal with those. It's all fixed, just to make sure.
That's right. We do fixed index.
Yeah.
Because that's the safest kind.
Yeah, and you know, when you're talking about preparing for retirement, I would assume most people don't want to, be so far out on a limb that they may have to, you know, after years and years of preparation and working hard and planning, you don't want to have to, you know, get to, you know, 75 and then all of a sudden the stock market falls out and you've got to go back to work. That would be a rough situation to be in. And you're trying
and
to avoid that.
What happens in a lot of these stock deals, they're investing in companies that are going broke right now.
Oh,
and these companies are public, and here they are, you know, going right down the tube.
Yeah. Companies that we never thought we'd see in this position.
You know, they put them in some stock, but it looks good. The company's worth $1 billion, and right now some of these companies that are worth $1 billion are crashing.
Yeah. Unexpected.
You know, I mean, it's just... All these trucking companies have went under, and they went under quick.
Oh, geez.
You know, they just called the people here in Texas and said, stop your truck right where you are.
Oh, wow.
Don't deliver the goods.
Literally.
Just walk away.
Right there.
I mean, it's been really bad. And some of the other big companies this week, same thing. This big grain company was buying all the farmer in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado. Buying all their grain. They went under. I mean, even ConAgra got caught in it.
Oh, really?
And they're all saying, this company was worth billions, and it can't pay them.
Oh,
now
geez.
They've got all their grain they've already given them, and how are they going to get paid? They declared bankruptcy.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I mean, a big deal. So if they own stock in that company, they are, you know, they're really hurting. They're going to... I don't know if they'll ever get their money.
Wow. Yeah. So you definitely want to avoid things like that, especially with the uncertainty that's now. You don't want to be in the stock market and then in something that you think is stable, been around forever, worth billions of dollars. We now know that unsinkable ships are sinking. We're seeing it before our very eyes. So this might be a good time for people to get a little bit more conservative, make sure they protect their principal. So that you don't have to get up at midnight and wonder if you have anything left. You don't want to find a surprise like that in the middle of the night. So it might be a good time to take a move. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Bonham, Texas.
Oh.
It's one of the oldest cities in Texas. A lot of things happened in Bonham. You know, back in the 1800s, Bonham had streetcars and trolley cars.
Really?
First, they were pulled by mules. And then later, they became steam engine cars. So they had these streetcars in the 1890s that went 12 miles up and 12 miles back. And it ran every 30 minutes. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
Now, the fare was 5 cents one way and 10 cents for both ways.
Oh, geez.
Can you imagine in 1875, they had mule-drawn streetcars. Can you even imagine that?
Wow, that's old school. That's awesome.
Really old school. And they said they had track jumping, collisions, accidents, you know, but they still went. And it said even the saddle store cowboys liked the streetcars.
Yeah.
Then in 1890, Bonham acquired a steam engine, and they replaced the mules and with steam cars. And soon they had electric trolleys even.
Wow. Trolleys are awesome.
And there was 26 Texas cities from 1914 that had 550 miles of streetcars.
Really?
But only seven of the largest had trolleys. And they had 237 miles of trolleys. I mean, it's just an amazing story. And as old as this is, it started out with a different name. Of course, it's Fannin County. And the first thing it was named Fort English. But that didn't last. So they named him Bonham dates back to 1837. And Bailey English, he built a two-story blockhouse. And it's kind of close to what it is now. And in the summer of 1937, they named it Bois d'Arc. And the Congress of the Republic of Texas named the city Bloomingdale.
Hmm.
In Bloomington, in honor of another guy. But then they renamed it Bonham in honor of James Butler Bonham. He was a defender of the Alamo.
Oh.
And so February 1848, they incorporated as the real town of Bonham. And there, in 1936, they put a statue of Bonham by Texas sculptor Allie Tenement. It's on the courthouse grounds. You know, when you think about it, Texas has so many statues in all their courtyards in Texas. You know, they've got the armadillo. You know, they've got the buffalo. They've got the anteater. It doesn't matter. You know, Texas loves statues,
mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Texas Pacific Railroad came in 1885. The city had 6 churches, 3 colleges, 2 public schools, 3 newspapers, a sawmill, 2 grain mills, and a power plant. And then they added an ice plant. Now, this is what's an amazing thing to me. The Texas Power and Light Company began service in 1925. They had electric company in 1925.
Really?
In Bonham, Texas.
Electric in 1925? I would not have. I would have thought. Yeah, I would have thought it had been at least a decade, if not two, later.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I would have thought it'd been 1950 or 45 or something.
Yeah,
but
at least. Wow.
And then in 1898 to about 1922, they hosted minor league baseball, the Bonham Boosters, and they played Oklahoma League, an independent Southwest League. And you're not going to believe it, but they had all these really famous baseball players came from Bonham, Texas.
Are you serious? For real?
Yeah. And the Baseball Hall of Fame member, Kid Nichols, he was the manager of the 1914 Bonham Sliders. And then they were famous for another thing. During World War II, they had a training camp, an aviation school, the Army Air Force was in Bonham. Then they had a prisoner of war camp for German soldiers.
Really?
And, that still stands today. And you can go and see it.
Wow.
But it's amazing to me. Homer Blankenship, Major Leaguer Baseball, pitcher of the 1920s, lived there. Ted Blankenship, pitcher of the 1920s. There's just so many of them. Danny Darwin, John Wesley Harden, the outlaw, was even from Bonham, Texas.
Awesome.
And Durward Keaton, he was an American football player. And Joe Nelson, he was an award-winning songwriter for Roy Orbison. He lived there.
Really? Neat.
And Tom McBride, MLB outfielder. I mean, there's probably eight baseball players, famous baseball players from Bonham, Texas.
You know, see, this is another example. It's like you find these places, and there's usually a list of famous people who have accomplished great things that come from these tiny places that I had no idea, not a clue.
I'm in shock.
Yeah.
And, of course, I didn't know that Mr. Bonham was at the Alamo. He was one of the people fighting there at the Alamo. So they have a lot of famous dadgum people from Bonham, Texas.
Yeah. I know they went through, you know, different names and things like that, but I'm glad they finally, you know, settled on, you know, honoring, I guess, one of our, I don't want to call him a forefather, but an important historic figure in our state history. I like that, you know, James Bonham.
And, you know, from streetcars to baseball players, I mean, and of course, they've got the statue of Mr. Bonham there on the courthouse grounds. I mean, and then the streetcars, you know, I just love the idea of the horse-drawn and mule-drawn streetcars, then the steam engines, you know. I mean, I think it's quite a town. It's one of the oldest towns in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of history. I'm shocked at all the things that have been historically associated with Little Old Bonham. I would have not said, if you had said, hey, name five things that are associated with Bonham, I would not have said any of them. I wouldn't have a clue.
And can you imagine, as early as it was, they had three colleges.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, three colleges in this little old town.
Yeah. Not one,
I mean,
not
it's
two.
It's hard to believe.
I know it. One of them would have been a feat, but to have three, it's just.
I mean,
and
it doesn't cover but 9 miles.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and to have all these other things that are crammed in the same place, it's like, oh my word, it's almost like you blink, you miss it, but there's so much that's in such a small a place. It's just. I don't know. It's one of those things that probably most places would have long forgotten something like that. But we, for some reason, end up with not only, you know, forgotten, closed down ghost towns, but we end up with historical places that are significant in our state history. It's awesome. It's really cool.
But can you imagine that far back in 1885? They had six churches.
Yeah.
Six churches.
Yeah.
And, you know, 1837. That's a long way back.
It is. And where are these people coming from that are filling six churches? I mean,
that's what I wondered. How can you have six different churches and three newspapers?
Yeah. I mean, who are the people that all these things are serving? Is it? I mean,
and they had two grain mills.
Yeah.
How do you fill two grain mills up?
I don't know. You know, this is what I'm saying. There's like all these things in just a small little, what is it, 9 miles, 9 square miles?
Yeah, 9 square miles is all it is. They added an ice plant and then an electric plant for electricity that many years ago. I cannot imagine that they even knew what they were doing in 1925. They established their own power plant and had lights in 29.
Yeah. I would have thought lights were a long time, relatively speaking, into the future. I didn't
yeah,
realize.
And two baseball teams, two dadgum baseball teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
My word. I mean, you start adding up all the things that that have been in Bonham, and you start thinking, oh, my word. It's like we struggle now. You know, it's like now you have a McDonald's on every corner. You know, you may have nine McDonald's, but back then there was nine churches or 12 churches, I think it was, in such a small little area. It's just, I don't know. I don't know who the people are that not only filled these things, but worked at these places. Where are these people coming from? Did they need that many churches? I don't know. But
they had all those churches, two grain mills, a power plant, and three newspapers.
Yeah.
How can you support three newspapers back in 1937?
Yeah. I mean,
by 1885, they said that's when they had the colleges, the churches, two public schools, a sawmill, two grain mills, a power plant. And then in 1890, the streetcars.
Yeah.
1890.
We're talking about things that fill a major metropolis. We're not talking about, you know, a small town, and yet they're in a small town. It's weird and kind of defies logic, and the math doesn't always add up, but it's kind of cool. It's neat for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they supported all that. I don't know why they needed all that. It's just, where'd the people
come
from?
And, you know, James Bonham, South Age of James Fannin, the county's namesake.
Yeah.
That's why the county's named Fannin, after Fannin, who was at the Alamo also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really historic place with all the things that happened there with the streetcars, like you said, the colleges, the newspapers. I mean, these people were going places.
Yeah, they were. They were going places, and I would almost say they were ahead of their time. So
they were way ahead of their time. How many people had streetcars pulled by mules?
I know, right?
And went 12 miles. They went 12 miles up, 12 miles back, 5 cents away.
Yeah.
I mean.
And the trolleys. I mean, maybe it's just because I don't get out often, but it's been a long time since I've seen a trolley. But boy, when you do, it's one of those things that really kind of, I don't know, it's symbolic of the times, but it's almost like they were technologically advanced, I guess, compared to other small places. Because most places I would.
And I don't know who knew how to do all that.
Yeah.
The trolley, who made the trolley, who built it. Somebody had to build the trolley and the steam cars and all the things that came before us.
Yeah. It almost sounds like if back then, if you lived in Bonham, you wouldn't need to go anywhere else. You have everything you need. So
it was self-sufficient. And,
yes.
And, you know, I mean, even way back then, they made the statue of Mr. Bonham and put it on the courthouse lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought
a lot of him.
Yeah, clearly, and you're right. We do love our statues, but you know, it's just like it's our way of, you know, keeping, I guess, tradition alive and honoring the past and what we're all about. And that's
honoring all the people who made Texas what it is.
Yeah, and because it's important, you know, you start losing things like that, and then you end up like New Jersey.
That's right, and you don't want to end up in New Jersey or like New Jersey. I don't want those people to settle here and change the way of Texas. Wow.
I had to throw that in there. Oh,
let's
my
seal
word.
The border. Let's seal the border.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagg, but your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I seriously have to take a trip to Bonham now, because it's just going back and just like standing there and imagining all the things that have happened even before now. It's just, it would be one of those things where I would imagine it'd probably give you goosebumps just to stand there and soak it all in.
Can you imagine that many baseball players?
Yeah.
Two leagues. I mean, I just can't imagine it. And they all went on to, you know, to play in the big time.
Yeah.
So they had somebody teaching baseball there in Bonham. I don't know who it was. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, there was somebody who knew their baseball.
Either that or somebody was drinking some special water and giving
That's
it to
right.
people. Wow. Okay, before we wrap up, I know we were talking about like annuities and life settlements and things like that and where they are inside people's, I guess, portfolio lifespan, maybe. With an annuity, there's not a lot of, I guess, qualifications as opposed
to... No, it's not hard to do like it is a life settlement. A life settlement, you must be qualified. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. So you must qualify. You've got to be accredited. And there's two risks. The biggest risk is the premium. You need to know before you buy the policy what the premium is, how much it is, and make sure what it is in advance. So all this, when you're buying a policy through us, we tell you all that information. We give you every bit of information where you won't be blindsided.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it is not liquid until it matures, okay?
And that's one of the things I would imagine as people are looking at their investment career, where they are in their life, if they're getting close to retirement, if they're still, you know, 10, 15 years away, if they're already into retirement, probably looking at their accreditation is one of those things that's going to determine, do we want to, you know, look at annuities, or do we want to look at life settlements? Are we accredited to do a life settlement? Do you have people that didn't think they were accredited but were interested in life settlements but actually were or built up
we
to
We always
that?
Tell them to go home and add everything up.
All right.
Look at your 401k, your Roth or your IRA. If you have horses and cattle, you know, a ranch, that's an asset. And see what all your assets are. And remember, you cannot count your home.
Yeah, your main
a
residence.
A lot of people have got a lot of money and they don't even realize it.
Yeah, yeah. I know you've told stories before about how people didn't think they were accredited, just kind of like discounted it, said, well, that sounds really great, but, you know, we don't have anything. But then there's like past 401k, there's other rental properties, their business, and then taking it all into consideration, you know, a lot of people have been accredited and didn't even realize it. So it is worth, like you said, to go ahead and add some of that up. So.
That's right. You need to add it all up and see what you're worth.
All right. So the Thanksgiving holiday is now, after this weekend, it's past us. So it's next week, business as usual.
In the rearview mirror.
I know it. Unless you go back and find yourself some leftover bread pudding with chocolate sauce. But
That's
I don't
right.
think...
If you find that, it's game on.
We'll keep this holiday going for weeks.
That's right. We could if we try hard enough.
Oh, my word. So it's business as usual for you starting on Monday and all next week, correct?
Yes, we're going to try to start getting everybody that wants to make transfers, especially on annuities. We're going to try to start getting that done. And then people that want to invest in life settlements, we'll get those done and try to get all this flagged up.
Okay. And don't forget that 16% bonus on annuities. You have until the 4th, so if you're interested in that,
That's
get
right.
on it quickly. So for all this to happen, business to get done, people to start making some money, they do need to call you and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye,
That's
what is
right.
your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's American Financial Midland.com. A lot of good things on the website.